today as we come to the table.
What a picture of Jesus and his first and second coming to the earth, like lightning. He was born in the fields of Bethlehem. Nobody but a few shepherds knew the leader stroke at all. It was simply the angels announcing that to them, and they knew it, and so they realized it, but the world didn't know it. There was nothing visible. Nobody recognized what was happening. And then what happened? The Lord walked the earth. He ascended back up into the clouds, and the Bible says he will come back from the clouds in his return stroke. And what's interesting is the first time, the one that no one really recognizes, is no real threat. He came the first time as a lamb, showing grace and mercy. The Bible says he's coming back as a roaring lion.
There is nothing accidental about the symbols Jesus chooses to use when he's describing his return to earth. In today's message, Pastor Mark is going to show you all the ways that the return of Jesus will be exactly like the lightning bolt he said it would be. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Are you ready for the return of Christ? When he returns to bring the church to heaven with him, those who are left on earth will face some terrifying times. But there is an escape for you. All you need to do is come to Jesus today, confess your sin, and accept him as Lord and Savior. As you listen to today's message, remember that God loves you and made a way for you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, as he continues his message, The Great Tribulation.
You know, it's interesting, when Moses died, God set a guard over his body. Don't you find that odd? God put a guard, Michael the archangel's guarding the body of Moses. Why would God do that? Now, certainly God wouldn't want Satan to desecrate Moses' body, but I think something way more nefarious was going on. It may very well have been that Satan wanted Moses' body. Can you imagine the impact if Moses had been able, or Satan wanted Moses' body? Can you imagine if Satan had gotten into Moses' body after he was dead, stood up, hey guys, I've resurrected and I've come back to make a few changes in that Torah thing. Can you imagine the impact that would have had on the nation of Israel and the rest of mankind from that point on? God wasn't about to let that happen. It might be that the Antichrist is truly killed at the midway point, and Satan takes his body over. But most believe, and I lean that way, it's probably going to be a fake death and a fake resurrection, and the world's going to go, this guy must be God. And that would explain why the world would bow down to him. However, the Jews are not going to do it because they're going to recognize, you're not our Messiah, you're not God, we don't believe you, there's no way this is going to happen. And so if you notice there, he says, you know, they're going to rise. Look at verse 26, therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, you know, do not go out, or look, he's in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. Again, for as the lightning comes from east to west and flashes, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. In other words, the Lord is saying, when I come back, he said, you're not going to mistake it, you're going to know it. It's not going to be a secret, it's going to be something that everyone recognizes. There won't be any surprises here. Zechariah 4:4 says that every eye will see him. Revelation 1:7 says this, behold, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. So again, Revelation says those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth are going to see him. So everybody's going to see him. He's not going to be, again, hiding from anyone. And so it's going to be something that's very, very open. And, you know, again, you look at those that have tried to say the Lord has come in secret, Jehovah's Witnesses. They claim that the Lord came back to New York City in 1921. I can tell you there's no evidence of the Lord in New York City. But either way, they say the Lord came back to New York City in 1921 and is hiding in some room to be revealed someday. I'm like, you better go to some other city. I'm not sure New York City will be around much longer. But either way, that's where they say he's hiding. Nonsense. They revealed themselves as a false organization with false prophets. Mormons did the same thing. Jesus came back and revealed himself to Joseph Smith, right? And showed him these special glasses and gave the Book of Mormon and these new gospels, if you will, this new writing of the Book of Mormon. He said, no, when you see these guys, I don't care what they show you, they're fake and they're phony. And he said, don't pay any attention to them. They're nothing to be afraid of and they're nothing to worry about. He says, don't believe them. For as lightning comes from east to west, everybody's going to see, you're going to know, it's going to be very evident, and it won't be something mistaken. You know, it's interesting. I had one time years back, I was driving down the road, and there was some guy hitchhiking, and I don't typically pick up hitchhikers. That gets a little bit more sketchy today, and I'm not necessarily recommending that, especially for you ladies. But I felt in my heart I was supposed to stop and get this guy, and I pulled over to get him. And he gets in the car and sits down, and didn't say much. He's kind of quiet, which is always concerning. But we're heading to where he needs to go, and the guy turns to me. He turns to me, looks at me, he goes, I am Jesus Christ. And I sat there and I said, well, I said, I know for sure that you're not. I said, because the Bible says that when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be like lightning in the heavens and every eye is going to see him. And I just picked you up on the side of the road. And he just kind of looked at me with real wide eyes, you know, didn't know what to say. And I figured out there's something going on here that's not quite right. And so it wasn't some kind of time for some major rebuke. This guy wasn't stable. I just drove him to where he, you know, needed to be and let him off or whatever and invited him to church. But either way, here's the point. You're going to know it. Nobody's going to be confused about this. You're going to recognize when the Lord comes back. It's going to be like lightning, very visible, very loud, and everything that goes with lightning. Now, again, I encourage you guys, when you come to portions of Scripture like this and, you know, look up the names that are used in the Bible. Look up the animals that are used in the Bible. Look up the examples that the Lord uses in the Bible, because, again, all of these things, the Holy Spirit is making an extra point in. And the Lord didn't randomly just pick lightning. He didn't say, you know, what am I looking for like I might do? I was like, what a good illustration. Oh, yeah, lightning. No, the Lord knows all things. He planned it all in advance. He's the Word of God. He chose lightning specifically. And so as I began to do research on lightning, I found it very interesting about lightning. And that is, lightning starts first on the earth. It comes in two phases. And it starts first on the earth in what is called a leader stroke. Then it goes unseen up to the heavens in the clouds, completes the connection or whatever happens there scientifically or all that goes with that, and then comes back down to the earth in what we know of the lightning strike as the return stroke. And by the way, when you hear thunder, what that is that's not the crash of the lightning hitting the ground. Now, if you're close to something, it might be. But as it burns through the atmosphere, it burns up the oxygen. And so what happens is the oxygen starts filling in where it just burned all the oxygen out. It starts where the strike began and just moves and goes, right? Thunder all the way down. And so the thunder you hear is all that open space being filled back in by the oxygen rushing back in and crashing and making this thunder sound, if you will. But what's really amazing about this when you think about it is nobody knows when the leader stroke is there. Nobody knows that's developing. It's not until the return strike that everyone recognizes it. What a picture of Jesus and his first and second coming to the earth, like lightning. He was born in the fields of Bethlehem. Nobody but a few shepherds knew the leader stroke at all. It was simply the angels announcing that to them, and they knew it, and so they realized it, but the world didn't know it. There was nothing visible. Nobody recognized what was happening. And then what happened? The Lord walked the earth. He ascended back up into the clouds, and the Bible says he will come back from the clouds in his return stroke. And what's interesting is the first time, the one that no one really recognizes, is no real threat. He came the first time as a lamb, showing grace and mercy. The Bible says he's coming back as a roaring lion. And might I add, as a lightning bolt coming to judge, and he will strike the earth in that return stroke at that time. That's why we need to make sure that we have everything right with him before that return stroke. And so, or we're going to have the stroke, right? So the Lord, what a great example here of just how lightning works and how the Lord's going to do. And again, we're going to see him coming in the clouds with great glory. You try to imagine all the light and the flashing, the sound of thunder. There's going to be a loud cry of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's going to be this loud trumpet blast. Let me just go on. Notice what it says. We'll get to that here in just a moment. He says, again, you're going to see this also with the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Now, your interpretation or your Bible, your translation rather, might say vultures. It goes back and forth between vultures and eagles. I'm actually using the same version that Paul the Apostle used, and mine says eagles. Paul didn't have any version in that day. But anyway, basically, they're both scavengers. We don't think about eagles as scavengers, do we? Some believe this is simply an illustration the Lord used to talk about the fact that it'll be very noticeable, just like a carcass and a bunch of birds circling it and on and all that. But I think there's more going on here. Because the Lord said when he comes back in Armageddon, he's going to wipe out the armies of the world and he's going to call the birds of the air to come and feast. And I think what the Lord is saying is when you see this massive destruction and all the birds coming, whatever, you know, you're going to know that I'm here. Now, you'll know before that, but it's going to be very clear that the Lord is here. And by the way, it's interesting. I've shared this with you guys before. One of the major migration routes of the world is through Israel and right over the top of Armageddon. Did you know that? Millions and millions of birds. If you're there during the migration season, the sky is just full of all these birds, row after row after row of birds just coming by. And so again, not that God has to time it for that time, but probably there's maybe something there in the timing. Either way, God can bring them when he wants. And by the way, this is one of the major migration routes for eagles, which I find very interesting as well. And so eagles do scavenge. So I think either one actually works. When you do your homework, you find that both would fit there nicely. So he talks about the tribulation, and now he jumps right into again. Now he's coming back. He's given him multiple signs, moving back and forth in these signs. And notice verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Now note this, the sun and the moon darken. What's he talking about? We can't be sure, but probably this has to do with all the pollution that will be in the atmosphere when this takes place at the very end of the Great Tribulation. Remember, the worldwide battles that have been going on, the worldwide earthquakes causing volcanoes to erupt. Again, you guys may remember a few years back, the volcano that erupted in Europe and they shut down flights for something like 3 weeks in Europe. That was one volcano. Imagine multiple volcanoes. Imagine all the battles and the dust. Imagine meteorite striking the ground, the rivers of the earth. It'll no doubt strike the ground as well, and all the dust that would throw into the earth. Imagine all the fires as it's burning up all the greenery of the earth during this time. It's going to be just a polluted cloud all around the globe held in our ecosystem, if you will. And I remember years back, they had this major fire that was there next to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where we were. And I remember seeing all that smoke and seeing the sun through the smoke, and it was blood red. It was dimmed and it was blood red. I thought, Lord, this is what you're talking about. This dimmed and blood red fire, or, you know, the smoke, you know, making it look like it's dim. So probably having to do with what's going on atmospherically. But notice this, and I find this interesting. It says, the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, when he says the powers of heaven, he's talking about the angels. He's not talking about the holy angels. And he's not talking about us. He's because they're going to be shaken. We're not going to be shaken. We're going to be saved. We're going to be with the Lord. He's going to shake the powers of heaven, and notice the stars are going to fall. Now, some say, well, you know, you couldn't really have stars falling from the earth down, whatever, so it might be some kind of meteorite shower, and it talks about it like late figs, you know, they're going to be falling off the tree when they're shaken or whatever, and it may be some type of meteor shower. I don't rule that out. That may be a part of it, but I think there's something more going on here. It's interesting. In Job, God calls the angels stars. Another word for angels in Scripture is stars. And now he says the heavens will be shaken and the stars throw down. I'll tell you what I think is happening. I think God at this time, see, this is when the Bible says when the Lord comes back, he's going to raise up Jerusalem to this massive platform that's going to be over 20 miles in all directions. A whole topography change, talks about it in Ezekiel. He's going to gather those that are remaining. We'll see in just a moment. The angels of the earth are going to go out and gather everybody there. He's going to separate the sheep and the goats. We'll get to that when we get to Matthew chapter 25. But the stars will also be thrown down. That is the powers of heaven here in context. And I think when he gathers the sheep and the goats, I think the fallen angels are going to be gathered for judgment as well. Now try to imagine the scene in your mind. Now we're not going to be standing with the sheep. Those are those that are saved during the Great Tribulation. They get saved after the rapture. We're going to be with the Lord, right? So we're going to somehow be watching all this as the angels go out and gather everybody in. Imagine the angels coming down and poof, 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 all over the earth, right? And just somehow gathering people. I don't think they're going to come back with arms full of them or whatever, but I mean, how they're going to gather them, only God knows. But they'll all be there on this Temple Mount. God's throne is in place. They're divided left and right, sheep and goats. And we're standing there watching all this, and the Lord says to those on his right, blessed are you and my Father, enter into the kingdom. They're going to come into the thousand-year reign and be there with us forever in the kingdom of God, or rather the 1,000 years and then forever after that. But he's going to turn to those on his left, the goats. And I was picturing that in my mind. That is the unsaved that made it through the Great Tribulation. And I just imagine seeing all these men, all of a sudden these giant guys with wings all mingled in with them. Wow. The stars are thrown down. The powers of heaven have been shaken. And the Bible says God will lock up the angels and Satan himself during the 1,000-year reign. until the final judgment after that 1,000 years. Now guys, this is why it's called the terrible day of the Lord. This is going to be awesome in the biblical sense. Not awesome in the way we use it, but in this, just, oh my goodness. And try to imagine what this scene is going to be like. You're going to be there. You're going to be watching that. That is if you know the Lord. Now, if you don't know the Lord, then you may go through this. I think we're close enough to where you're not going to be there fleeing from Jerusalem because you're not going to be in Jerusalem. But you're going to be here trying to deal with this situation on the earth, running from the Antichrist and trying to not take the mark of the beast and all that goes with that while this is happening. Listen, nobody in this room has to do that. All you have to do right now is say, you know what? I choose to believe in Jesus Christ and give my life to him. And if you do that, the Bible says you're not going to be there. You're going to be, you'll be there, but you'll be watching it with us from the upper seats. And so that's the decision that you need to make today. But either way, it's going to be an awesome day. You know, the stars thrown down, the powers of heaven. Notice then, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Everybody's going to be just mourning. Realize, oh my goodness, here he is. We couldn't escape him. This is true, and he's coming after us. It says in Revelation, those that can will be hiding in caves, saying, fall on us. But even if you hide in the cave, an angel's going to come grab you out of there and take you to the Temple Mount where you're going to be the sheep and the goats divided. You're not going to be able to get away. You're all going to be brought in at one time or another. That is if you're not already in the kingdom and knowing the Lord. And so, again, he'll appear in heaven. The tribes of it tells us in Zechariah that the tribes of the Jews will be mourning and weeping because they recognize they've rejected their Messiah. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Again, everybody will see. There'll be no mistake. And he'll send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they'll gather together his elect, that is the believers that are saved after the rapture, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, and then there's this massive scene there on the Temple Mount. Guys, what an amazing day. Now listen, as we finish this up, if you're a believer, this is very exciting. I mean, we're going to be taken up into heaven in the rapture and have this 7-year wedding feast while the Lord is dealing with the nation of Israel and all those that didn't believe and get saved after or either never get saved on the earth. All this is going to be happening. We're going to be up there celebrating. Then we're going to come back with the Lord on horses, and he's going to come and again, like lightning flashing from the east to the west, the roar of the lion, the sound of, you know, the trumpet. Notice it says the trumpet will blast, the sound of the trumpet. I think about the trumpet blast at Mount Sinai that so put fear in the heart of the people. They said, Moses, we don't want to talk to God. You go talk to him. There's going to be that loud trumpet blast worldwide. The brightness of the Lord, the roar of our king coming back, us with him, the destroying of the enemies there all around, you know, Jerusalem that are trying to wipe out God's people and fight against Israel. And then all of a sudden, the gathering of the nations as the ground raises up during this great turmoil and the angels gather everyone here, and we're watching this scene and we see all this judgment take place and part consigned ever to be separated from God and those that get to go into the kingdom. And then we just enter into the kingdom and have 1,000 years with Jesus. As we enter into the kingdom, the earth just springs to life. Trees, flowers, beauty everywhere. The Bible says all the air will be restored to fresh. All the oceans, again, will be restored to their sparkling beauty. And it's going to be just 1,000 years to have fun with the Lord. Again, I reminded you last week, and I want to say it again because maybe some of you that are younger weren't here. I hear younger people say all the time, I'm kind of anxious about the Lord coming back because I've got so much life to live. If the Lord comes back today, you've got 1,000 more years here on a much better earth than you have right now. You've got plenty of time, my young friend. So don't worry about that. You're going to have a lot more fun on the restored earth than you could ever have now. You're not losing anything. And for those of us that are slowly falling apart, it's just all the better. Let's just kind of get at her. But let's wrap this up. I feel like I talked too fast today. So if I talk too fast, get the tape. You can slow it down, right? But here's the main point of all this. For those of you that know the Lord in this room, we have a great, exciting future. And it's upon us. It's upon us. It could happen at any moment. Somebody asked a question on our radio show we do. They said, well, there's this new teaching out there that says that Jesus can't come back for 100 years. And they have their different doctrines and why he can't come back. And I said to him the same thing Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew, another area in Matthew, he said, it is the wicked servant that says the Lord is delaying his coming. I said, I don't want to be a wicked servant. Notice, wicked servant. I don't want to be a wicked servant. I want to be the servant that says there's nothing delaying the Lord's coming. If he was to come back right now before we're done, praise the Lord. And so he can come at any moment. The question is, are you ready? Now, if you know the Lord, you're ready. You know him. If you don't know the Lord, here's my appeal to you. Don't wait until you find out that it's right from the scripture, that suddenly the church is gone, that suddenly all these things are happening, that a world leader comes out of Europe ruling the world, making everybody take some kind of identification mark. Can you imagine that anybody would come along and try to make everyone be identified on a worldwide scale for any purpose at all? It's happening, gang. We're watching it take place. And if you don't recognize it, it's time to wake up. Well, I'll wait till the rapture takes place. And then I'll follow God. Again, you've heard me say it. If you can't live for him now, what makes you think you'll die for him then? Make a decision. The Lord is ready right now to say, look, this is eternal. This is real. This goes on forever. And by the way, if everything, and we can prove that everything the Lord said up to this point historically has happened 100%, every bit of it, why would the Lord make it to the very last minute and say, well, let those kind of things just not happen? Do you think he's not going to finish what he began? Do you think his word's going to fail after being exactly provable accurate, even by the skeptic? We can go back and prove thousands of years of accuracy of his prophecies. You think he's going to get to the end and miss? No, he's outside of time. He sees all things from beginning to end. This will happen. You will either be a sheep or a goat. And the only difference between the sheep and the goats, it's which side of the sanctuary you're sitting on. No, I'm kidding. Is whether or not you receive Jesus Christ as Lord or you don't. That's it. That's it. And so I want to end and pray and thank God that we get to celebrate being with him forever. But for those of you that may not know the Lord, and for the first time God has opened your eyes and you want to receive the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for the exciting things that we have to look forward to as the body of Christ, God. And Lord, just again, we have so much excitement ahead. And Lord, we don't rejoice in all the tragedies coming upon the earth. That is horrible. And were it not for mankind's rebellion, you wouldn't have to do it. And you don't desire to do it. God, your word says you desire that none perish. No one. You don't want anyone to perish. Your desire is that every soul ends up in heaven. And for those in this room that know you, God, I thank you for that. But God, there may be some souls here this morning that they've not made that decision. And this morning, for the first time, you've opened their eyes. And Lord, they realize, I have a decision to make. And if that's you this morning, I encourage you, make that decision. Confess to the Lord that you're a sinner. Humble yourself and confess it. Ask him to forgive you. Tell him that you believe he died for you on the cross, that his blood took your sin away, that you accept that as your payment, and that you believe he's coming back like lightning, with the roar of a lion, the sound and the trumpet of God, to gather the nations for a final judgment before we enter into, or at least a final judgment in this era, until we enter into the 1,000-year reign with you, Lord, and then the very final judgment at the end of that 1,000 years into the new heaven and the new earth. And so, Father, make us ready, and make everyone in this room that's not ready, ready by that prayer. So we thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? Does your stress level climb when the price of gas rises? Have your hours been cut back at work? Are the bills piling up? Is it all too much to handle? Listen to this call of Jesus and let the peace wash over you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These verses are found in the book of Matthew, the same book Pastor Mark is teaching from today's message. When the world feels like it's just too much, reach out for Jesus. He is always right there for you, ready to give you rest. And as a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville, Come to the Table is here to bring you biblical teaching that you can rely on through the hard times. For more messages like today's, you can head over to thewaymedia.net. There's a tab labeled Come to the Table, where you'll find many more messages from different books of the Bible. And while you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. Come to the Table is a radio ministry that comes from the teachings of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the East Tennessee neighborhood, we'd love to have you drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Thanks so much for joining us today. Pastor Mark has more to share from Matthew. So we hope you can be with us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.